Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this program on public access channel number 6 on your TV from 8 to 8:30 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs with MP3 files that you can download and listen and re-listen again. We also have our TV programs out there. We encourage you to give it a view. There's a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look and let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want you to know that we cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. It is our desire to help you understand your need to God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please, come and study and worship God with us. We have begun the last month and we are continuing this month in looking at pattern theology. There are those who tell us that the Bible is not a pattern. It is not a blueprint. It is not a guide. It is not a model. It is not a design. And the things that are contained in it, we do not have to follow them in the religious service and in the work that we do on behalf of Christ. And again, this month we are looking at the acts of worship. We are looking at whether God had a pattern in how He wanted to be worshipped. We remind you again of the statement made by Jesus in John 4:24, where He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Last week, we looked at the Lord's Supper. Today, we're going to examine the act of worship in giving. We find this instruction in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. This was written to the church at Corinth. And in verse 1 it says, Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. Now, I want you to notice something. In this text, it says that we are to lay by and store on the first day of the week. Again, this is the same principle that we discussed last week in looking at partaking of the Lord's Supper on a special day. The special day is Acts 20, verse 7, for the Lord's Supper was the first day of the week. We see the same day when the saints are gathered together and assembled together that we are to give on the first day of the week. That is the only day that we are authorized by God to give and to lay by in store as we have prospered. Now, in other religions, they have special offerings. They offer every time they come together, whether it's a weekday, whether it's in a meeting, whether it's a special series of services, and they have collections taken every time they meet. And they also have, you send them in to their radio programs or their TV programs, and they petition that giving can be done at any time. Yet, that's not what we see in the Bible pattern. In the Bible pattern, we see that it's done on the first day of the week. There's some other things that are interesting about this pattern that we want to point out to you. Number one, we need to understand as we have purposed. What does that mean? As we have purposed and as we have prospered. That means that giving is planned. It's not something that I reach in my pocket and I give what's left. Or I give what's left after I've taken care of everything that I want to do. And whatever I have left, the leftovers, so to speak, that's what we give to God. There's no planning in that. And there's no purpose in that. If a person truly gives in the way that God has instructed him, he purposes, he plans it, he thinks it out, he gives it some thought, and he gives God the first fruits. He gives God the best. He doesn't give God what's left over. He gives God part of what he's blessed with. If I've been blessed with much, then I should give much. If I've been blessed with little, then I give little. Our giving is in proportion to how we have prospered. Now, when we do that, then we follow the instruction here in 1 Corinthians 16. But there's another passage we want to examine in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6, Scripture says, But this I say, he who spares, sows sparingly, will reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also sow bountifully. So let each one of you give as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now again, this tells us the attitude and the heart that must be given and demonstrated in giving. Number one, we either do it bountifully or sparingly. Now bountifully would mean that we give maybe more than we can afford. And sparingly would be, as so many people like to say, to give as least as they can to get by with. And so if we give bountifully, then we're going to reap bountifully in return. If we give sparingly, if we just give the bare minimum, we're not going to get that much in return. Now, one of the misconceptions that is taught by the religious world about this is, especially among our television evangelist friends, is that we need to give God more, and the more we give, the more we'll get in return. That is not what God is saying. God is not guaranteeing that if I give more, then I'll get more in return. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if I want God's blessing, if I want his acceptance of my gift, then I'm going to give. I'm going to make a sacrifice. I'm just not going to give. And notice, it says that we give every purpose. Again, this thought of planning it out, of giving it some thought, looking at how we've been blessed, looking at what God has blessed us with this past week, and then returning a portion of that to God. And we're not to give grudgingly. What does that mean? That we don't give thinking that we could spend it on something else. Ladies and gentlemen, if you give on the first day of the week and you do it wishing you could keep it to make another payment on your car or to buy something that you want and you're giving it grudgingly, then God is not accepting it as fruit on your behalf because you're not giving it with an honest heart. You're not giving it willingly. You're giving it grudgingly. And so giving must be done freely, and it must not be done in a grudging way. And it must not be done out of necessity. What does that mean? We don't do it because it's a habit. We don't do it because we do it every Sunday. We do it because we desire to do it. We do it because we want to do it. And we do it because we want to make a sacrifice and a demonstration of how much we love God, because how much God loves us and how he blesses us. I want you to know that God gave no other means of supporting his work except free will offering of his children. It is the responsibility of the Lord's church to communicate in a way that it takes care of its own finances by the free will offerings of its members. God never intended for the world to fund the work of the church. It is funded by the free will offerings done every first day of the week on with an honest heart, not grudgingly, not necessity, with purpose, on the first day of the week. Now, one of the gravest misconceptions about giving is people still think that tithing is the way to go. Tithing is an Old Testament practice. It is something that God gave the nation of Israel when he made the law, when he gave the law of Moses. Part of that law was tithing. And man not only makes a mistake that thinking that tithing is still relevant today, he also makes a mistake in how he presents it. If you ask one about tithing, they say, well, God wants us to give 10%. 10% of what? If you go back and study your Old Testament, my friend, you'll see that tithing really ended up in much more than 10%. They had to get 10% of their flocks, of their produce, of their profit, of things that they were blessed with. They were required to get 10% of all of it. And if you add up all the things that they had, and the things that they gave to God, it was almost a third. It was almost 33%. And so tithing was much more than 10%. Now, if you remember in the book of Malachi, God charges them with robbing him. Why? Because they were offering things to God that he did not accept. One of the things they could offer God, they had to offer their sacrifices. But they were offering lame, diseased, sickly, things that were about to die. Those kind of animals. They weren't offering the very best, that without spot, without blemish, the first of the flock. They weren't doing that. They were offering that which was going to die and that which was not needed and it wasn't going to live and it was diseased, so it was no good. And they gave that to God. God said, in doing that, you're robbing him. And so again, tithing is no longer relevant because we don't live under the old law. Tithing is not practiced today because it's not according to the law of Christ. Number two, 10%, there is no permanent amount that's given in Scripture about how much we give. How much we give is between us and God. But we have some parameters in what we should do. We should do it with purpose. We should do it with planning. We should do it lovingly. We should want to do it. We don't do it grudgingly. And we don't do it because we have to do it. We do it because we want to. And we do it cheerfully. We do it because we want to express our thanks to God for the many blessings that He bestows on us in this life. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do every person give the same amount? And the answer to that is no. Those who have been blessed with much, God expects much. Now, this principle is taught very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, warning about the danger of the love of money, he makes this statement in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives to us richly all things to enjoy. Let them who do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Those who have been blessed with much, God expects much. Now let me give you an example, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe as a Christian, you invest your money. And maybe every quarter, or maybe every 6 months, or maybe every year, you receive a dividend and a benefit because of that investment that you made. Do you give God part of what He blessed you with? Or do you just set a set amount every first day of the week, and then you just give that, and you've never raised it, you've never changed it, you just have for years have given the same amount? No thought to that, that's just in your budget, and that's what you give. Do you get a raise? Do you receive benefits along the way that increases your income? Does God ever get a raise? Do you ever think that some of that should go back to Him because He blessed you with? What about those investments? What about those time options that we have on our stocks? And we get, and they go up, and we get a dividend check. Do we give any of that to God? Do we ever think about that? You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not about money. It's about our heart. It's about our attitude. It's about our willingness to give God back part of what He's blessed us with. Ladies and gentlemen, we have nothing. Everything we have is because of the love and the mercy and the grace of God. We have been given things, and as stewards, as caretakers, as managers, and we are just using it until we give it back to God. How much do you give? Do you give every first day of the week? Do you do it with purpose? Do you do it cheerfully? Do you do it with grudgingly? Do you do it on necessity, or do you do it because you want to do it and you want to express to God your great thanks for the love that He's given you? Now, ladies and gentlemen, those who practice tithing today have no authority to do it. That's not according to the pattern. That was a pattern under the Old Testament, and according to Colossians 2:14, that has been nailed to the cross. And so if I'm going to follow God's instruction in giving properly and giving back to the Lord as He's blessed me with, I'm going to do it on the first day of the week. I'm going to do it with purpose. I'm going to do it willingly. I'm not going to do it grudgingly. I'm going to do it cheerfully. And as I'm blessed, I'm going to give back to God. If I'm blessed more, I'm going to give more. That is the pattern demonstrated in the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, do you give on every first day of the week? And do you give as you purposed and as you planned? And do you give cheerfully and without grudgingly? If you do, then I commend you. If not, maybe you need to change. Thank you for listening.